Easter, because that's as far as my memory goes back, really. And I was thinking, I was remembering, since Easter, throughout the ministry of the people represented in this church, 16 people have surrendered their life to Jesus. Since Easter, through the ministry of you people who have breathed in the life of Jesus Christ and have recognized it is not only to breathe in, but to breathe back out to others, other people have been touched and their eternal destinies have been changed. That is amazing. That is awesome. That is so great. And I don't want you to ever lose perspective of that. That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. I was sitting here yesterday praying before this morning, and it was empty. And I like to come in here when it's completely empty. And I'm looking at a bunch of empty seats. And I just began thanking God. And I said, God, thank you for these empty seats. Because each one of these empty seats represented a person. When I look out now and these seats are full, these seats are representing people who have experienced the power of God's grace. Every one of you, take a moment and look back at your life and what a mess it was and how fallen apart it was before Christ came in. And then what happens? Christ enters your life and your life is radically changed for the better. Each and every one of you in this place at one point were a slave to sin. You had no control over it. You were forced to obey sin. You were a slave to it. God sends Jesus Christ into this earth to redeem us. Amen. To purchase us back out of the marketplace of slavery by His blood. You have been redeemed by His blood. You have been reconciled to God, which means your relationship with the Creator has once again been restored to its original state. Because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you, you now have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, with the Father in heaven. And in the court of law, above the judge of all judges, He now declares you not guilty. That means you've been justified, you've been declared not guilty anymore because of what Jesus did on the cross. That is awesome! And when we come together on Sundays, we celebrate this awesomeness. That's what we're here. We come to celebrate that, and we come here to get refreshed and to regroup. Because when we leave here, when you walk out these doors of this place, you enter your mission field. When you walk out of these doors and you walk out of these four walls, you are entering the mission field that Jesus has given to you. We come together, and when we draw near to God, He draws near to us through worship and through His Word. And yet people come to know Christ by hearing His Word here in church. We saw that on Easter. But I want you to understand that you carry His Word within you. And God says that He has entrusted you with His Word to carry it out, to carry it out to your friends. It's those people out there who need it more than anybody. The people in here, if you have given your heart to Jesus Christ, you've been redeemed, you've been reconciled, you've been justified, you're in good hands. You're in good hands. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is how we as believers, people of faith, are to respond to God's activity in our lives. God is active in your life on an every moment, every day basis. I truly believe that with everything inside of me. And I believe that we as believers are to be attentive to that and to be aware of that and to learn how to respond in the midst of that. I don't know if you've recognized, there's been a running theme throughout this series that we're doing, Extreme Makeover, Spiritual Edition. And the sort of the running theme throughout them has been that God uses the ordinary, everyday experiences in your life as teachable moments for you and I to respond to. That's been the running theme throughout this series. You see, every day God is giving you opportunities to respond to life's circumstances in a way that brings Him glory, and in a way that brings you actually closer to Him. And so this morning's message, I want to make you aware that this morning's message is to make you alert, to recognize God's character-producing pattern in you. And it's an everyday process, so that you are ready for it, and so that you can gain as much as you can from each and every moment, not just simply going through life, but gaining from every teachable moment that God has set before you. Sound all right? Yeah. So these past few weeks, we've had some pretty nasty storms in Delaware County, haven't we? I mean, they're pretty unexpected. When you hear of tornadoes touching down in Delaware County, it's like, what? A tornado? And tornadoes were dropping down here. Unexpectedly, tornadoes were dropping down in Delaware County. It's unheard of in a sense, you know? They're supposed to be out west. But what I want you to reflect on, the questions that I want you to reflect on this morning are these. How do I hold up in the storms of life? How do I hold up when trials and suffering and the storms of life are coming at me? How do I respond? How do you respond in terms of your character when unexpected troubles make landfall in your life? How do you respond on the inside to the difficulties that come from the outside? I don't know if you all read that email that Pastor Phil sent out about Trevor Wilson and his wife. I was so touched by that letter because this was an unexpected difficulty in their life. They were not expecting it, but his response to what they're going through just lifted my spirit. Because he saw it as an opportunity to grow closer to God, and he saw it as an opportunity to spend unexpected time with his wife and to grow closer with his wife. He responded in such a way that God is looking for. You see, we cannot control the unexpected things in life. Every single one of us, we face unexpected situations that are challenging. Whether it's an illness, whether it's a crisis, whether it's a conflict you have with somebody else, whether it's a friendship or a relationship that is dying. We cannot control those crises. We cannot control those problems in life. But what we can do is we can become more like Christ in the midst of them. The way you respond to the difficulties in life determine your growth and your maturity in Christ. These unexpected storms, they're a part of life. They're expected. Unexpected crises should be expected. I heard it put this way one time, that at this very moment, you and I are in one of three storm categories. You've either just got out of a storm, you're in a storm right now, or you're headed right for one. And that's really true, isn't it? They cannot be escaped. We all face bad things are going to happen. Bad things happen. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through troubles. We're going to go through things that test our faith in God. Bad things happen to believers. It's going to happen. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is Job. And if you remember the story of Job, my goodness, in the first chapter, Job had everything. Life was at his fingertips. He had all the wealth in the world, cattle, crops. He had it all. And he had a great family. And in an instant, in one day, he gets a response back from a messenger who says, "Hey, man, all the oxen are dead, man. They all got swept off by a raiding party. And then there's fire that came down from heaven and burnt up all his sheep. And then the Chaldeans came down and they swept up all the camel." It's like in a moment, in one day, everything was taken from him. And so Job is hearing all these reports back, and he hasn't even processed this yet. His entire livelihood was taken from him in an instant, and he hasn't even had time to process it yet. And another messenger comes in and says, "Oh my goodness, Job. All your kids, man, they were eating and they were drinking in their son's house, and the house just collapsed right on top of them. They're all dead, man." And what was Job's response? He tore his robe, he shaved his head, he got down on his knees, and he worshiped God. He worshiped God. He hasn't even had time to process any of it. His immediate response was going straight to God. We all face unexpected crises. We all face difficulties in life. So let me fill you in on a secret. Whether these unexpected storms of life, whether they're caused by external forces or whether they're just natural consequences of something that has happened in your life, they are a necessary part of your life transformation process. They are absolutely necessary. You see, God is in the process of shaping you and molding you and crafting you into the image of His Son. If you are here this morning and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you were once a sinner, but now you are a saint. You were once a sinner, but now you are a child of the living God. You were once a sinner, but now you are an ambassador of His kingdom. You've been redeemed, you've been reconciled, you've been justified because of what Jesus did. And so now you've been thrust on this journey with Christ. And in this journey, as you walk with Jesus, God is in the process of shaping you. He's in the process of sanctifying you. He's in the process of making you holy as He is holy. And He is active in this process every moment of every day with that purpose in mind. We all go through these difficulties in life, and I don't know why they happen. I believe that we can ask God, and I believe He'll reveal some of those things of why we're going through this or why we're going through that. But a lot of times we don't know why we go through them. But what I do know is that God is looking at your heart in the midst of those circumstances. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at the response of your heart in the difficulties in life. He's looking for your faith in Him to be activated in those moments. In 1 Samuel 16, we see that God does not look at things the way that man looks at God. Man looks at things from an outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So that verse right there tells us that God is concerned not with your outer appearance, but with your inner disposition and your inner character. He's looking for how our character and our heart responds to life's difficulties. How do we react when life hits us? When the difficulties and the storms of life hit us, how do we respond in the moment? God is looking. He's watching your heart. He's watching your character in those moments. You know, God tests your character. God tests your character. He tested it with Abraham and Isaac when they went up to the mountain. And he didn't set Abraham up to fail and to fall on his face. He gave Abraham an opportunity to create enlarging his capacity to obey his father God. Or what about in Exodus when we see the nation of Israel and they're going into the wilderness and God leads them into the wilderness, and this wilderness is a massive hostile environment full of sand and stone. There's nothing out there. It's just wilderness. It's barren land. And God brings them into the wilderness. God brought them into the wilderness. He brought them in there. And it provided the perfect place for God to test and to shape the character of His people. How you respond to life's difficulties matters to God. How you react, how you respond in the moment when life hits you matters to God, because He is in the process of shaping you into the image of His Son. You see, God does not look at trouble the way that we do. Where we see stress, God sees a beautiful opportunity. Right? Where we see a crisis, God sees an opportunity for us to grow and to mature in Him, which is His desire for us. God's purpose in times of crisis and in times of trouble is to teach His precious children precious lessons. In the moments of difficulty, God wants to educate you and to build you up and to shape you into the image of His Son, Jesus. He's looking for how we're going to respond in those moments. And there's a ton of ways. There's a number of ways we can respond, can't we? When life hits us with storms and troubles, we can respond by letting it overcome us. Letting it completely overwhelm us, overpower us, overtake us. Immobilizing us. That's a response. Or we could respond like many of the Israelites. And we could pout. And we could complain. We can blame God and we can turn away from Him. Or we can learn from their mistakes and begin to see the difficulties and problems in life as God's active work in your life. And allow Him to grow us and allow Him to draw us closer to Himself. Let that be your response. But unfortunately, what ends up happening is that we often fail to see God's hand at work in our lives on a daily basis, don't we? That's the truth. And we choose instead to focus on the problem at hand and allow it to take over our lives. I want to encourage you this morning that God is at work in your life. And if you don't understand that God's hand is at work in your life on an everyday basis, and that everything that you go through in life is an opportunity to bring you closer to Him, then the result is what? That you become unhappy. You become confused. You become cynical, right? God, where are you in all of this? Where have you been? Are you going to help me out with this? What's going on? God, aren't you going to fix this? And we begin to react irrationally to our problems rather than taking the time to seek God in those moments and to see the problems as an opportunity to grow in Him. Every problem you face is an opportunity to grow in Him. Remember, God is at work in your life, even when you cannot see Him. And as people of faith, for faith to be faith, there has to be a response on our part. Faith is not merely just recognizing that God is God. But faith is responding to God's activity in our lives. James 2:17 says that faith, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead and useless. So faith, for faith to be faith, there has to be an active response, a reciprocating response, knowing that God is active in your life every moment of every day. How are we going to respond to that faith, to that activity in our lives? It's recognizing that God is constantly active in your life and responding to His activity. We believe that God is active. He is active on a daily basis. The Word of God clearly tells us that He did not just create us here and leave us here and say, go have at it, man. But His Word says that He is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is a very active God. We see it all throughout the Word of God. We see it all throughout the Bible. God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. He partners with us in ministry. He uses us for His eternal purposes. Friday night, God used Anthony to be a bridge that led another child of God into His kingdom. Amen. That man's eternal destiny has been changed forever because Anthony made himself available in the moment. And he allowed God to use him, and he was led by the Holy Spirit. And now a man's eternal destiny has been changed forever. God is active in your life. And our faith in Him is made evident in the way that we respond to that activity in our life. So what are you saying, Pastor? Are you trying to tell me that I should be appreciative and grateful for the difficult circumstances that I'm going through? Are you telling me that I should be appreciative of the struggles that I'm going through and the storms in life? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes, I am. I'm saying thank God for them. I'm saying rejoice in them. I'm saying when difficulties are coming your way and the unexpected crises come your way, thank God for them. Rejoice in Him, praise Him, worship Him for them because they have a purpose. And the purpose is to draw you closer to Him, to create you and to shape you into exactly the person He created you to be from the beginning of time. So when you face difficult situations, who cares why they're there? Thank you, God, that they're there. So that I can grow closer to you. Was that biblical? Well, let me show you. James 1, 2 through 4. I love it. Here it says up there, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. The Word of God is teaching us here the kind of attitude that we're to have to difficult situations. And the attitude that we're supposed to have is, consider it all joy. He tells us that they're going to come in all various types, and we know that, right? Trials in life, they come in all shapes and sizes. And He says, consider it all pure joy. That word consider, I used this back in December when we went through the Joy-Filled Life series. And that word consider actually means to think forward, to consider what is ahead. In other words, we live in this present moment, but we live in the present storms, we live through the difficulties, but we consider what's down the road. He's saying that we can be joyful in the trials and troubles in life because when compared to our eternal status and when compared to our future with Christ, they are nothing. But it also says understanding that in the present, they serve a purpose for you. The difficulties in life, they serve a purpose. When compared to what's ahead, hallelujah, we praise and we worship. We celebrate. But also understanding that in the moment, when they're difficult, and they are difficult, I'm not taking away how painful storms are. I'm not taking away from any of that. But they serve a purpose. As we rejoice in the trials and troubles of life, we are responding to the way, we are responding the way that God intends for us. And when we respond in the way that God intends for us, we are growing and developing His character within us, which is what His purpose is for your life. What about another passage? What about Romans 5? Romans 5, 1 through 4. Let's read this together. Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character, hope." Notice that it doesn't say that we rejoice because of our sufferings. We don't rejoice because they're there, but we rejoice in them. We rejoice in them. We are able to rejoice in sufferings, trials, because we know that they're not meaningless, but they serve a purpose, an eternal purpose for you and I. The problems that we run into will develop our perseverance, which will in turn strengthen your character, which will in turn deepen our trust in God and give us a greater confidence about the future. The Bible tells us that in the future, one day we will become. God sanctifies us in this life on earth, and when we go to be with Him, we'll be glorified. We'll become exactly what God intended us to be from the very beginning. But the Bible also tells us that while we're here on this earth, that we must be overcomers of this world. Jesus tells us in John chapter 16, says, "In this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." And who is it that lives in you? Jesus Christ. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So when the overcomer of everything that ever needed to be overcome, the final victor, lives and dwells within you, He has given you the power to persevere, to overcome anything that you face. Amen? Amen. Sam, can I ask you to come up? I just want Sam to come up. God's purpose in shaping your character to reflect His character is His highest priority for you on this side of salvation. He is all about forming you into the present day expression of His Son Jesus for a crucial time in history. There is a purpose for your storms in life. There is a purpose for those difficult situations and circumstances that you seem powerless against. God is doing something for an eternal purpose. Understand that this earth is your temporary place. God is shaping you, molding you, crafting you for something eternal. Something that will last forever. And when you recognize that, and you're able to see His activity at your work every single moment of every single day, everything that you go through is a teachable moment that God wants to use to grow you, shape you, mold you into somebody He wants to use for His kingdom. Like I said in the beginning, when you leave these doors, when you walk out these doors, you're entering your mission field. We come in here to regroup. We come in here to huddle up. We come in here to get fed by the Word of God. But you're also to be feeding yourself throughout the Word, throughout the week. Get to know the Word of God for yourself. Get to know Him. Stay close to Him on a daily basis. Make Him your everything. Because everywhere you go is an opportunity. Everything you face, every experience you have is an opportunity to grow in Him. if you refuse to see the hand of God in everything you face, if you refuse to see that He is constantly shaping you in the midst of your circumstances, but instead you blame your circumstances on Him or other people and you try to rationalize the way you act, then you're going to miss God-given opportunities that are designed to shape you for the eternal purposes that He has ordained for you. See the hand of God at work in everything and respond to it. See the hand of God at work in everything that you go through and respond the way that He wants you to in the midst of it. I just want to finish by saying I believe that we're headed for tough times. I do believe that. The Word of God says that we are. I believe that there's a lot of suffering to come. And God is going to need some battle-hardened veterans, to use the words of Pastor Phil. God is going to need battle-hardened veterans in these last days to carry out His work. He's going to need people who have been tried through fire. He's going to need people who have passed the test of loyalty, who have remained true to Him in the midst of their difficult situations. He's going to need people who have been strengthened, not weakened, by difficult circumstances. So in spite of the inevitable struggles you face, understand that you're not alone, that Jesus Christ is with you. He has not abandoned you to your circumstances. He has not abandoned you to your struggles. But because of what Jesus did in your life, you are now an overcomer. So what I want to do now is I want to pray for you. And I want to open up the altar. And I've asked some people to come up here and pray with me. But this prayer, we're just going to lay hands on people this morning. I know we've gone late, but God is ministering to people this morning. I know He is. He is ministering to people right now. And so if you are here this morning and you are going through a trial, or you have just come out of a trial, something unexpected, a difficulty, a crisis, whatever it is, if you resonate, if anything that we're talking about this morning, we want to lay hands on you and we want to pray for you. So as Sam just prays, I'm just going to ask the people that I've asked to come pray, Anthony and Liz and Lenses and Phil, if you're here this morning and you're going through a trial, if you're going through a trouble in life, if you're going through a difficult circumstance, we want to pray for you. What's so beautiful about the body of Christ is that we're all in this together. And that we don't leave each other alone to fight through these things by themselves, but we are, the beauty of the body of Christ is that we walk through life with each other. We're in this together. And so right now, if you could just sing a song for us, man, just do something nice. I believe God is ministering. So I just want to invite you to come on up. If you have something that you want prayer for, now's the time to do it. Let's pray for it right now. So come on up.
If I could just ask those that are on tithes and offerings, if you would go down to the doors with the thanks. That's great. Here's mine. Here's mine here. Thank you. Thank you very much. Just grab a couple of people to help you out. Thank you.
deserve.